Right, it's 11:14 and we're back with Marion. So what have we got now, Marion?
Oh, well, I just wanted to thank Lynn for playing that last song, Silly Love Songs, because that's what the level I like to work on is the love level, which is what the soul is. Souls are simple. We just want to love and be loved. So that last song was beautiful.
And that was a pure fluke.
No, it wasn't. You were guided. Okay, speaking of guides and angels, we all have them. It's no mystery. So, and it's in our best interest to listen to our guides. It's in their best interest to guide us. They are just us dead, pretty much. Once we die, those of us that are in our last incarnation, like I'm pretty sure I am and a couple of others, or at least one other in this room, when our lives are so intense, it is our last incarnation. And especially once we start getting so, become so spiritually aware, we're being shown where we're headed next. People who aren't spiritually aware have got no idea. And they are, you know, some of the narcissists and the sociopaths and psychopaths in this world who have got a lot of life, a lot of lives left to live.
And they're politically correct. Don't forget them.
Yes, yeah, that's it. So we all come in at different levels. The people sitting in this room are hovering around 80, 84%. Maybe me, I'm probably 55% in my soul. But some of the beautiful spiritual values that I talk about of trust, respect, integrity, unconditional love, wisdom, tolerance, justice, fairness. They're all the lessons that I talk about at spirit when I talk about spiritual levels and soul levels. So why do you want a psychic reading? Interesting. You know, what is it about that you, yeah. Why do you want a psychic reading? It was something that I felt prompted to talk about this morning. I feel that I'm a psychic postie.
Right.
I'm the psychic postie. I just deliver the mail. I have no control over what the postie puts in your letterbox. So we might get some junk mail. We might get some a blast from the past mail, you know, hi from Grandma, yes. And here's $5 for your birthday that I missed. That was 6 months ago. But anyway, we might get a private and confidential letter. So sometimes I can't actually give you the messages because I'm actually not allowed to see them because they're actually for your own personal growth. Now, I just want to just reiterate that you guys can all do this for yourself. You know, you don't need to come and see somebody who specializes in it. However, I do would like to say this, that we go to school to learn maths and English and history from our teachers, and we come to psychics or people who work in the spiritual world to learn about the soul. So that's kind of my role. So if you're interested in finding out some more about how you can do this for yourself, just hop on my website. But we can all do it. It's just learning to trust. You're not used to it, okay? So what's my imagination? You know, what is the message from my guide? You know, so those of us that are in our last incarnations are going through some pretty intense lives, learning lots and lots of lessons before we move into the role of being a guide in our next life. The people that are our guides, and they were people, they were alive, I do know exactly who mine are. And, of course, they were alive. So it's in their best interest for their souls to guide us. However, I think I might have mentioned this last time, that if somebody's walking past your house, they can't just walk in without you inviting them in. The guides are the same. You need to invite them in. They can't just enter your spiritual realm of your mind, your 30%, and start talking to you and guide you. You need to invite them in. So if you're going to ask the questions, and I know a lot of people don't believe in religion, but funny how when something goes wrong, the first thing they say is, oh, God, help me.
Yes.
You know, oh, my God, help me. Oh,
how often do you hear that?
Oh, there's going to be angels. You know, all of a sudden people are believers.
Yeah.
If only they knew that it really is real. So if you're going to ask for help, please listen.
Yeah.
Now, how do you know? I guess one of the first things I would like to say is that they can't manifest right here, right now. The only difference between them and us is we have a body to carry the soul, but so they are pure soul, pretty much, and energy. So if they stood here right now, I'd probably, you know, freak in fright. But I know to trust the other signs that they show us, the dreams, the feelings, the knowings. I've had some amazing growth in the last couple of months where all of a sudden my life didn't make sense on a human level. Little did I know it that behind the scenes my team were putting together my puzzle, and all of a sudden I've had a whole lot of pieces go into my puzzle, and now my life's starting to make sense. We need to grow into it, and sometimes when we're going through the worst times in our life, that's when we build our trust. if you can't understand what you're going through in your life and you're in a crisis, you're going through depression, your life makes no sense at all and you don't know which way is up, believe me, I know. I know about that stuff. That's when you've just got to trust. And that's when, you know, like people say, oh, you know, you've got to meditate or listen to nice music. See, I can't do any of that. I go for a walk. You know, I can walk to the top of the bluff and not know how I got there. And the whole time I'm walking, I'll be talking out loud. So I will be talking to my, I'll invite my team from the time I've left home and I'll start talking to them about my problems. And before I know it, the answers are coming out of my mouth. And I'll get to the top of the bluff and I go, oh my God, how did I get here? It's because I've gone into some, into this state of that 30% that, that I know to trust. And when you learn how to trust that place, it does come together for you.
Mm.
And I've had so many revelations that way. I go, oh, my God, you know, look, I wish – I'm not smart enough to think of this stuff. It comes through me. Right. So, for example, I'll give you an example. Lady's found a lump in her breast. She goes, oh, my gosh, you know, oh, now what do I do? What do I do? I better go and see Dr. Roberts. So she's scared herself. Oh, I'm not going to the doctor. I don't know. I don't think I want to hear the result. So she puts it off. So she's driving down the road and she turns into a, she turns right and goes, oh, that's the wrong street. And she looks up at the sign and it's Robertson Road. Right? And then she goes, oh, no, I don't want Robertson Road. Turns back, goes driving down the road again and this guy cuts her off and he's got a personalised number plate and his number plate says Robbie. Right? So keeps driving. She goes to the supermarket, buys her shopping, and she's got two women in front of her in line, and they're talking about one of the husbands whose name is Rob.
Ugh.
She went home and made an appointment with Dr. Roberts, and
yeah,
it was just as well she did.
Mm.
Okay, so start looking for the signs. And that's the best way as well because they, you know, when you become aware, you start looking and you actually find them.
Yeah.
As well. So there's things like that. Dreams. Keep a dream journal. Before you fall asleep at night, just ask one question. Invite them and say, look, please, you know, I really, you know, Marion said that you're there. I want to trust that you're there. You know, look, people, trust me. Maybe just trust Marion. If you, because you can see me, you can feel me, you can touch me. I'm tangible. I know that your guides, you feel, aren't tangible. So trust me when I say they are real. You know, I've had to learn about being psychic and spiritual. And believe me, some of the things that I've learned recently and my whole life, it hasn't always been fantastic being psychic. I'm not going to sit here and cry right now and tell you about any of my personal stuff, but it is heavy duty. When you know you're psychic and you know stuff about people, that you go, oh, you know, oh, oh, what do I do with this, you know, and they are in total denial until everything comes out and then
yeah.
It all comes out perfect. So being psychic is pretty good, but it's also pretty bloody, pretty tough. Oops, somebody just walked in and said
so far.
Yeah, whoops. It can be extremely tough as well. So I liked, but in saying that, what I've just been through personally has now brought me to a huge new level of awareness where the lesson for me was trust.
Right.
There were huge lessons for the other person and I thought I was playing a role in their life about forgiveness, but it was their lesson of forgiveness, but it was my lesson to learn to trust that what I have really is a gift. But we can all do it. It's just all in different ways.
Mm.
This what I do is my life. It's all I do. So, yeah, I love what I do. But we can all do it for our own selves. So watch out for the signs. Watch out for the dreams. Listen to what other people are saying because quite often spirit will put you in a situation where they'll put the words through someone else's mouth. And I've been in a situation, in this same situation, where three people have given me the messages of my team that I'd been ignoring. They'd given me the same words. And I went, well, there you go.
Yeah.
See, you know, I thought that was really interesting as well. So be listen to what other people are saying. So, you know, it's interesting. People want a psychic reading. But why? Why do you want to contact people that you didn't speak to before they passed?
Yeah,
suddenly you do. Interesting, isn't it?
Hmm.
You know, is it regret? Is it proof? what is it? I always say expect the unexpected too. For readings, you might go with certain questions, and I always say to people, bring your questions, because your life is your priority. So bring your questions about what you want direction from in your life, but then be prepared to expect the unexpected, which what Lynn was sharing with me before. Sometimes the messages aren't always clear for me, right? Remember that each reading for me, even though I've done 4,312 readings, but I've actually stopped counting. I think that's a nice number to finish on, stop counting on. But every reading for me is the first time I have a reading. So, you know, it surprises me what comes out my mouth. And I know that I can't think of this stuff, but some of it's pretty amazing. And then there's other stuff like this. Got a phone call from a lady. Her name was Cheryl. She wanted to make a booking with me, and I went. And in my psychic world, I've got a lady going, "That's my Deirdre. That's my Deirdre. Yeah, that's my Deirdre." And I'm going, "Please, lady, let this lady talk on the phone." And anyway, she goes, "Oh, my name's Cheryl," and this lady's going, "No, that's my Deirdre. That's my Deirdre." You know, I asked her to go away. I had to be quite firm with her. She was in spirit, but anyway, so Cheryl made an appointment. A week later, Cheryl turned up, and I went to greet her at the door. And as she walked from her car to me, the same lady was back. "That's my Deirdre. That's my Deirdre." And I'm going, "No, it's Cheryl. Please, would you give us some private time?" This lady in spirit was so insistent. Anyway, so she was quiet. She was still there. I could see her very clearly. Anyway, I did the reading for Cheryl and sat there. And this lady's going, "No, you ask her. That's my Deirdre." She was insistent. So I said, "Oh, look, excuse me, you're here for a psychic reading. I need to give you this information." And I said, "I've got a lady here, and this is what she looks like." And it was quite distinct, and these distinct earrings. And I said, "She's insistent that you're her Deirdre." She goes, "Oh, yeah, that'll be my mum. Dad wanted to call me, mum wanted to call me Deirdre, but dad wanted to call me Cheryl. He hated the name Deirdre." So it was actually her mum that was going, "That's my Deirdre." So we acknowledged mum, and then she left us alone. You know, so there's times like that, you know. And then that was her connection, and that's all it was. And that was actually part of the reading.
That's all she wanted.
That was all she wanted, but it's still a connection.
Yeah.
You know, we moved on. We didn't spend any time talking about mum. There was another time when I got these two names for a person, and I kept saying, "I've got two here. There's Winnie and Fred." And she goes, "Oh, no." She goes, "That's one person. That's Winifred." So sometimes the information needs to be worked through. It's not always clear.
Yeah.
Then there was a reading I did for a lady, and all I could see was her dog. And he had these huge pointy ears. He was a blue heeler, cross something else. But anyway, had these triangular ears that would not lay down, just didn't lay down. And I said, "I've got this dog here." But he says he's dog. All he's saying is, "I'm dog, I'm dog." And I go, "Yeah, because I have, what's the word, telepathic conversations with spirit or animals or people. That comes through in spirit. So you don't see me talking to them. Sometimes I do. Often during a reading, you'll see me talking to spirit. But anyway, I was talking to this dog telepathically, and I was talking to him about his ears. I said, "Make your ears lay down." And he goes, "I can't." And he's gone, "I'm dog, I'm dog." And so I said to the lady, "I've got this dog here, but his name's dog." Anyway, I said, "I've got this dog here, and all he's saying is dog." And she goes, "Yeah, that's my dog." And I was talking about the ears, and she goes, "My dog's name was dog." And I just went, "Oh, you know, so that, you know, like it's not unlimited as to what comes through." Yeah. Or expect the unexpected. Did the reading, another reading for a lady, and all I could see was this boxing kangaroo. Oh. This boxing kangaroo all the time. He gave me his name at the time. I know this sounds weird, doesn't it? Anyway, she goes, "Oh, can you find out where he is?" She goes, "That's our pet kangaroo. He hasn't been around for weeks." So I kind of tuned. He goes, "Yeah, I've got a girlfriend." So anyway, this kangaroo had gone missing, but it was her kangaroo. That's actually featured in my book, in one of the short stories, which I just glanced through before. So there's all sorts of things, you know. Like for me, it's the first time. But did I tell you the story last time about Jem?
I can't remember.
Oh, can I tell you the story about Jen?
You may. We've got a couple of minutes left before we have to leave.
Oh, I don't know. You know the story. Anyway, a lady, I was sitting at the psychic fair in May, and I was doing readings, and the people who came to see me had their backs to everybody that walked past. Every time I did a reading during the Saturday, this happened about 8 times. A woman would walk past, and her dad, a woman would walk past, a real woman, a human woman, a real woman would walk past, but her dad in spirit went, "There's my daughter." So while I'm reading for someone, I'd go, "Where?" And I'd get up and have a look. Oh, and I'd sit down and focus on the reading again. 8 times, "There's my daughter." And I'd look, "Oh, yeah, there is." So I knew exactly who he was talking about. So anyway, late in the afternoon, about 4 o'clock, she came and sat down. And as she sat down, she put her hands on the table and she had rings on every finger. And I went to grab her thumb. I didn't look at her. I didn't even know who she was. I just grabbed her thumb and the ring that was on her hand. I said, "That's your dad's ring. That's George's ring, your dad George." And I looked at her and she burst into tears and I burst into tears. And we sat there holding hands for about 10 minutes. And that was the whole reading. George had come through about 8 times that day. "Go, why won't my daughter come in and see you? I'm here with you. Why? I'm not with anybody else. Why can't she come and talk to me through you?" Anyway, that was that. And that was for those that were there at the time, it was pretty, you know, it was pretty full on. And some people were a bit bewildered by what was, you know, all the crying and hugging. But, you know, it was nice. It was amazing. And she felt the love that George brought through as well. Never got her name. 3 weeks later, a woman came to me for a reading in Victor Harbour, and I only had her first name because I only take first names. Anyway, so as she sat down, I grabbed her hand. George goes, "It's my daughter." And so I grabbed her hand again and I grabbed her ring and I said, that's your dad's ring. That's George's ring. She goes, yeah, don't you remember me from the expo? I said, yeah, I do now.
Yeah.
And she goes, "I had to come back because that was all we had at the reading at the expo." She said, "Don't get me wrong, that was fantastic and I got closure from that, but I want to find out if there's more." So we did the reading and I saw two women next to George. And I said, "I can see two women next to your dad. One of them's named Pearl and the other one's named Ruby." She goes, "Yeah, they're my aunties." I said, "Okay, so Auntie Pearl and Auntie Ruby." I said, "But your dad's saying to me that Pearls and Rubies are like gems, but you are his gem." And she burst into tears and she said, "They were the last words." Makes me cry. "They were the last words my dad said to me before he died."
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
And she said, "Look out the window at my car in the driveway. Her registration plate said
Gem."
It did.
God, that's amazing.
Isn't that beautiful?
And now I'm going to
make that stuff up.
No, you can't. And I'm going to let you dry your tears now because it's time for Marion to go, unfortunately.
Thank you for having me, Lynn.
That's my pleasure. And we're going to go now to a break and I'll be back with more after this.
This community announcement is...